everyone. Welcome to Beyond Breathing, the podcast for everyone who breathes and sleeps. I'm your host, Lance Sett, and I want to thank Sierra Sleep, Airway, and Wellness Center in Reno, Nevada for sponsoring today's podcast episode. In today's episode, we are going to shift gears a little bit, and today's topic is achieving optimal health through nutrition. You are not going to want to miss this episode where we dive into the impact of supporting the foundations of health and homeostasis. Cheryl Scott is the founder and owner of Resilient Metabolism Health Solutions, where she is on a mission to empower individuals to reclaim their health and vitality through the transformative power of nutrition and lifestyle interventions. She's on a mission to reverse the trend of poor health. Thank you, Cheryl. She is a practicing functional nutritional therapy practitioner and complete health dental hygienist. She is certified in functional blood chemistry, functional supplement specialist, functional clinical assessment therapy practitioner, instant hair tissue mineral analysis, Designs by Health Spotlight testing provider, and a fast metabolism diet coach. Cheryl's journey into the world of nutrition and wellness is fueled by her own health challenges and inability to access quality care from traditional Western medicine practices. Her fix-it-yourself determination and relentless curiosity has really made her, I think, a key pillar in the industry of, you know, helping connect all the dots. Everything that we've been talking about on these podcast episodes talks about the importance of good breathing and good sleep and good oral health. And she's really going to touch on, I really think, something that's just as important as all of that, and that's nutrition. She really specializes in uncovering the root causes of health imbalances and guiding clients towards sustainable, personalized solutions with a focus in the areas of digestion, blood sugar, stress, and sleep for all, but especially for peri and postmenopausal women. Wow, when do you sleep, Cheryl? You are doing so much. Welcome to the podcast.
God, I'm so excited to be here and so happy to work with you. I always love our communication. So, you know, sleep happens. You make it happen. That's when you have to rebuild and repair and you fit all the other puzzle pieces into your world as it can happen.
I know. I'm really excited that you're going to talk to us about all the things that we can, you know, do during the day to really support us sleeping better at night. So some of these terms were kind of new to me before I met you. We've been working together for many, many years, decades, probably almost now. But why don't we just start by letting our listeners know, what does a functional nutritional therapy practitioner do?
Great place to start. So it's sometimes easier to use acronyms because that is a big mouthful of stuff. So a functional nutritional therapy practitioner is also known as an FNTP. So I may refer to the acronym more so than saying that whole mouthful. But an FNTP, see, messed it up already. Healthcare, we're trained to address health concerns and promote wellness through a holistic approach. We emphasize the foundational role of and overall health, but there's a lot more components to it. So it's accomplished by taking that holistic and personalized approach and focusing on identifying, addressing root causes of health imbalances, but we're still empowering the client to take an active role in their own journey. So some of the things that we do is utilize assessments. We have a comprehensive list of assessments that the clients utilize.
Health. Cheryl, I'm going to stop you for a second because you are really breaking up. I'm not sure if it's your Wi-Fi or my Wi-Fi.
Let me see if I plug this into. I'll see if I can balance all this fun stuff. The phone thing that I have doesn't go upright with my headphones. Oh, this is such a silliness. Can you hear me a little better?
Oh, it's like a million times better.
Yeah, I figured it would be. Okay.
Okay.
Does it look like I'm crooked though? Because I've got my totally messed up.
Nope.
Okay.
It looks totally straight. So I'm just going to start with the welcome to the podcast, Cheryl, part with this question over. Okay.
Wait. I just dropped you on the ground.
Oh, no. Well, let me get it. It's Monday. She's Louise. You know, I just took a final exam last Monday. And I love the gal that taught the class. We've become very good friends. And everything was screwed up. It kicked me out halfway through the test, couldn't get in. And I'm like, oh dear God, it's me.
You know, it's everybody at some point, some days. Okay. This sounds so much better. I'm so glad that we did that. Okay.
Okay.
All right. We'll start kind of welcoming you again. Okay.
Okay.
1, 2, 3. Welcome to the podcast, Cheryl.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here. It's always such a great pleasure to interact with you. You always bring such information to me. I love sharing with you.
Well, we've been working together for a long time, many years, even decades. So thank you for your time today. Why don't we just start off? Some of this terminology was new to me before I started working with you. So, you know, let's kind of fill our listeners in. What does a functional nutritional therapy practitioner do?
Okay. I'm going to use some acronyms because we know that is quite the mouthful. So functional nutritional therapy, it's also known as an FNTP. So we'll use those letters more often. So an FNTP is a healthcare professional. We're trained to address health concerns and promote wellness through a holistic approach. And we emphasize the foundational roles of nutrition and overall health, but that's just one component. So it's accomplished by focusing and identifying and addressing root causes of health imbalances, but we're still empowering our clients to take an active role in their own healing journey. So some of the things that we utilize include assessments. We have a comprehensive assessment that we do with each of our clients. It helps us know more about their health status, their medical history, dietary habits, lifestyle factors, symptoms, health concerns, all kinds of great information. We may use different tools to gather that information, like health questionnaires, food journals, functional lab testing, nutritional food and mood journals, all kinds of information that lets us know kind of where to focus with deficiencies if they have excesses or imbalances. And by identifying those imbalances, we can address things like digestive health, blood sugar regulation, hormonal imbalances. But we also consider non-dietary factors, things like lifestyle, environmental exposures, physical activity. An FNTP has a little bit additional training as compared to a nutritional therapy practitioner. So we have an additional certification that allows us to do this really cool functional clinical assessment. It's kind of a hands-on bodywork, energy work thing that we can do with our clients. And it helps us to evaluate several organs and various body systems to see how they can utilize food and supplements that's specific to them. When utilizing that type of assessment, I can get an instantaneous identification from the body whether this would be a good product or food for that person. The body tells us so much. We can also do lab testing, and it depends on the client's health concerns and the training of the FNTP. You do need to have additional training to run many of the labs, but we can look at things like blood work, hair tissue mineral analysis, as you had mentioned, organic acid tests, GI mapping, and some of those terms may or may not be familiar to people, but it can look at whatever your issue is, there's a functional test for it. And depending on your practitioner, you may be able to utilize those or be referred to somebody else. So personal recommendations, bio-individualized recommendations is what we're all about. So every plan is tailored to the client's unique needs, aiming to optimize their health and support their healing so it can prevent future imbalances and deal with the ones that they're working with. It's all about creating homeostasis for our clients. So the recommendations can be, once again, dietary or supplementation, lifestyle. It just depends on the individual. So obviously there's going to be a lot of education and empowerment that's involved with that. Each interaction with our client, we're giving them more and more tools to help on their health journey. And it can be something simple as like hydration or different times to eat different meals, but it can also be very in-depth as to a very individualized protocol of supplementation that can get kind of crazy. So we monitor the progress. Everything is fluid. You will change depending on what's going on and how things are doing. We also collaborate and refer with other healthcare providers. So that might be your GP, or it could be a dietitian or a massage therapist or chiropractor. So we're all about prevention and wellness promotion. So besides looking at the existing health concerns, we emphasize the importance of preventative care, just like in dental hygiene. We educate the clients on strategies for maintaining the optimal health and preventing disease. And that is kind of in a nutshell what we do. There's a lot more to it, and I know that took quite a bit of time, but it's amazing how we can touch so many areas of people's lives.
Yeah, and I really think this is exactly what I think mainstream Americans are looking for, right? We want a medical provider, somebody that has a ton of knowledge and that sees us as a whole entire person, right?
Right.
And focused on not only symptoms, but also like disease prevention and really personalized care. So it sounds like every single person gets very different kind of services and plans.
Absolutely. And you have to remember that we don't have you for 5 minutes. The work that I do takes hours on the backside. So by taking the information from your nutritional assessment questionnaire, there's over 300 questions that we look at. I look at every symptom that's a high or moderate to find out what could be the root causes, what would be the nutritional deficiencies or supplementation that might be utilized, and try and put it with the health concerns of the patient so that we can really focus on those root causes, like everybody says that they try to do.
Yeah, that's so cool. So why don't you just build on that a little bit and give us maybe some examples, some ways that you utilize nutritional therapy in your practice to optimize sleep for your patients?
Oh, great.
Clients, I guess you call them.
you have to flip back and forth between that.
Yeah.
So there's so many ways that nutrition supports sleep and optimal sleep. One thing that is so key is balancing blood sugar levels. And I know you mentioned that I do focus and specialize on individuals that are peri and postmenopausal. That is such a key thing. Sleep goes out the window when we get to that point in our life for most or many of us. Blood sugar can be very much involved with that. So the imbalances can disrupt sleep by causing fluctuations in like your energy and cortisol levels. It can interfere with your ability to unwind. Nutritional therapy emphasizes eating balanced meals and utilizing the right macronutrients like carbohydrates and fats and proteins so we can stabilize the blood sugar levels throughout the day. And that can help with your sleep in the evening. We support things like your neurotransmitter production. So certain nutrients are involved in the synthesis of neurotransmitters that will regulate the sleep and wake cycles and can help promote relaxation. So just an example, tryptophan, you know, we know that is something that puts you to sleep. It's a precursor to serotonin, which is then converted into melatonin. And that's the hormone that can help with regulating sleep. So we may recommend things like foods rich in tryptophan, like turkey or chicken or nuts or seeds or dairy products that can help promote that production. And looking at nutrient deficiencies, so things that can impact your sleep quality and overall health would be magnesium or calcium or vitamin D or B and a fat issued omega-3s. If they aren't optimized, then that can really impact your sleep in a negative way. And we look to identify and address specifically what are your deficiencies and what would be best to support your individualism. You know, inflammation is another thing that so many of us, we don't even realize that we're inflamed, and that can disrupt your sleep by activating the stress response and interfering with the neurotransmitter function. So looking at anti-inflammatory foods, you know, fruits and vegetables and fatty fishes and nuts, that can help to reduce your inflammation and once again, promote better sleep. You know, managing stress, I think all of us could take a couple lessons on that. It's a common contributor to sleep disturbances, and it can lead to heightened arousal and difficulty relaxing before bedtime. So we can look at things like stress-reducing foods and nutrients or adaptogenic herbs. We can help support the body's stress response and promote relaxation in that way. And you can also do other lifestyle things. Meditation is fabulous. I've been introduced to the Brain Tap, which I use that on a daily basis, a lot of times at night for sure, and then in the morning. Digestive help, oh my gosh. So many people need help with digestion. Gut health plays such a crucial role in our overall health, and it can impact sleep through our gut-brain axis. So gut supportive foods like fiber-rich fruits and vegetables, fermented foods, and probiotic-rich foods can help promote that healthy balance. But once again, that goes down to the bio-individual, because if you are somebody who has a high histamine response, you want to be careful with some of those foods, like fermented foods would be contraindicated at some point. And then food sensitivities or intolerances that leads to inflammation, leads to disturbances in your digestion, and it just dominoes down. So getting rid of those potential triggers can be very, very helpful. So working to take a comprehensive approach to address sleep concerns by addressing underlying imbalances, like the foundations of health, like your digestion, your hydration, et cetera, that will promote your well-being and address and enable better sleep quality and improved health outcomes.
I'm going to just put you on the spot a second. We didn't really touch on this kind of leading up until today, but can you tell me what kind of services do you have available to help people know if they do have food sensitivities or intolerances?
Oh, sure.
I think many people have them and maybe think they do, but haven't been confirmed. And many people, I think, are just totally unaware. I'm just bringing this up because we went through this with my daughter and I went through this testing with you, and I thought it was quite shocking the things that we found out. So can you just touch on that a little bit?
Oh, gosh. Absolutely. So there's many different ways that you can test for food sensitivities. One that most people would probably think of first is like checking your blood. So there is a company that can test up to 176 different foods to see if there's sensitivity to it. It's not allergy, it's sensitivity. And they can give you information as to a high, low, medium rating with that. That's one way. There's so many other ways. Elimination diets, that's another way. There's an inflammation test that I can teach my patients to do with taking their pulse and being exposed to a food. The functional clinical assessment that I do, you can see an immediate response by either having food near the body and or in the mouth and say it's a gut issue that it's causing, the palpitation of those areas will increase in discomfort. So there's several different ways that you can look at that. And then we could work on addressing, replacing those foods and upgrading to something that would still give you the pleasure and the nutrients, but eliminate the exacerbating item.
Gosh, that's so amazing. Like, I think everybody needs to see a functional nutritional therapy practitioner. I think this should just be mainstream medicine. So that being said, I'm sure you think the same thing. You know, where do you envision healthcare going in the years to come? And what do you wish for in modern healthcare now that you have all these credentials and knowledge?
Well, unfortunately, our sick care model isn't serving us. So I think shifting towards a more bio-individual approach to actual healthcare rooted in holistic functions is a great place to start. Allopathic medicine absolutely has its place, and our doctors have their place. But if you can fix something with adding a nutrient by eating different foods versus taking a chemical that now you have to take another chemical, why wouldn't we start there? So my approach represents a profound evolution in how we perceive and address health and wellness, and it empowers people to take control of the quality of care and the outcome that they receive and that they want. So that shift is totally critical. Each individual has a distinct genetic makeup, their lifestyle, environmental exposures, they all influence their health outcomes, and yours is very different than mine. So embracing that bio-individuality acknowledges the diversity and recognizes that there's no one-size-fits-all approach to healthcare, and that's where I come in. I don't have a cookie-cutter way of dealing with my clients. So by understanding and addressing each person's unique biochemistry, we can tailor interventions to meet those specific needs, and it'll lead to a more effective and sustainable outcome. So allopathic medicine often focuses on symptom management rather than addressing the underlying cause of illness. In contrast, holistic approaches emphasize identifying the root causes of that dysfunction. Things like poor diet, nutrient deficiencies, gut health imbalances, stress, and environmental toxins, they're killing us. By treating those root causes of illness rather than just the symptoms, the holistic practitioners, we aim to restore balance and promote long-term health and vitality. So we're going to empower individuals to take a role in their own health journey. I think it's been long overdue for us to do that. We just go, they say something and in the office, give us a pill and we take it and don't question it. So education and personalized guidance, that's going to help people learn how their lifestyle choices, including diet and exercise and sleep habits, will impact their health outcomes. And it fosters a sense of ownership and responsibility for one's own health. You know, if somebody does it for you, you don't have that ownership. But when you can do it for yourself, you're in it for life. So Allopathic medicine often intervenes after the disease has already manifested. Holistic approaches can prioritize that prevention and optimize health. You know, autoimmune disease isn't, it's a spectrum. It's not treated in a doctor's office until you have it. What about those signs and symptoms beforehand that you could have done some tweaking and addressed those issues before it becomes a true disorder? So by addressing those imbalances early on and supporting the innate healing ability of your body, we're going to prevent and develop the development of chronic illnesses and promote overall wellness in a so much more sustainable long-term way. The proactive approach, it reduces your healthcare costs in the long run, but it also enhances your quality of life. And isn't that what we all want? So as a holistic healthcare provider, I recognize the interconnectedness of mind, body, and spirit in influencing the health outcomes. Things like nutrition, movement, mindfulness, emotional well-being, even things that happen to us well in the back. I'm also getting now into energy health, and that's another rabbit hole to go down. But those are all integral components of holistic healing. And if you don't look at the whole person and just an isolated symptom or an organ, you can't promote wellness and harmony within the individual. We're one big organism that interacts completely. So the need for healthcare to become more bio-individual based on holistic foundations arises from a recognition of the unique nature of each individual's health journey. So that importance of addressing root causes of illness, empowering those individuals to take control of their health and prioritizing prevention, we're integrating and interconnecting all aspects of the mind, body, and spirit and promoting overall wellness. That's the future of healthcare. And I see it here and I see it coming, and it just makes my heart swell.
Oh, me too. So I don't think it's any surprise, right, that yes, people are struggling. We're not breathing properly. We are not sleeping well. We're not eating well. We are busy. We are stressed. We have hormone changes. You know, we go through many, many different changes in our life. You know, hormones is just one of them. But I guess before we hop off, for our listeners at home or in their car, you know, what are a few ideas or things that people can do instantly to improve their health?
I'm always one to probably talk more than I should. So I'm going to give you several little things.
Yes, I welcome that.
So nutrition, it plays a significant role in regulating your circadian rhythm. And that's something that I think we don't think of a lot of time. And with your circadian rhythm being off, your sleep can totally be imbalanced. So our biological clock governs very physiological processes, including the wake and sleep cycles or sleep and wake cycles, and hormone secretion, metabolism, and cognitive function. So things you can think about is like your timing of your meals. If you're eating too late at night, that can really influence your circadian rhythm. So being consistent and eating about the same time each day really helps to synchronize that clock and internal cues, just like the light and the darkness really helps with that, which light exposure and melatonin production is very closely linked or is linked. Light exposure is one of the primary cues for entertaining our circadian rhythm. So natural light during the day, I'm sure most people have heard in the morning when you wake, in the noontime, and then at dusk, really helps to set that clock. If you can't get outside in the morning and you wake up in the dark, having a light box in your bathroom or wherever you get ready for 15 or 20 minutes can start telling your circadian rhythm that you're waking up and get going for the day. So nutrient timing and sleep quality, certain nutrients like macronutrients of carbohydrates and proteins and fats can influence our sleep quality, and it depends on when they're consumed. So for an example, consuming a balanced meal that includes a complex carb and protein in the evening can promote production of serotonin, and then that's converted to melatonin, and that can help with facilitating sleep. But on the other hand, and this is all bio-individual, so high-fat meals can really disrupt that. And I'm kind of a different person. I can't have complex carbs after, say, 5 o'clock, or it will send my blood sugar through the roof when I sleep, and it's fine until I sleep. And then that disrupts my rest. And even though I'm dead to the world, I wake up unfulfilled. So everybody is individualized, and you really do need to look at how foods affect you and when. Caffeine, we all know about that. It can disrupt our sleep. So other stimulants are coffee, tea, chocolate, some medications. So knowing when to take them so that it doesn't disrupt the sleep is important. So keeping your caffeine levels earlier in the day. Some people say not before 2 o'clock. after 2 o'clock, being careful with alcohol consumption. At first, it might help you relax and go to sleep, but it actually can disrupt your second half of sleep. So limiting the consumption of alcohol, particularly in the hours leading up to your bedtime, I'd say no closer than 3 hours is best to consider. Nutrient deficiencies, so things like magnesium and vitamin B and omega fatty acids. If you are not, if you don't have sufficient amounts, that can really mess up your circadian rhythm. So adequate intake of those with a balanced diet helps. Once again, seeing an FNTP, we can help to tell you what type of supplements would be right for your body type. So adopting healthy eating habits and consuming meals at consistent times, being mindful of the timing and consumption of the meals, being careful of caffeine and alcohol, light therapy, those can all help. A few other things that you can super easily do is your screen time. Blue blocker glasses are amazing. You can get them very inexpensively. You know, I've got a blue and green light pair that I use. I also have just reader blue lights. And when it starts to get a little darker at night, or I know my bedtime's coming up, minimally a half an hour, but a couple hours before really, really helps. Sleeping with a dark mask to keep all of the light out is very important. And cool bedroom, no disruptions. Don't listen to your TV when you go to bed. Meditate before is very helpful. And then in the morning, the light therapy kind of kicks things into gear. So in a nutshell, there's about 5,000 things to do.
Oh, I love it. I know that you can help so many people. I'm going to be sharing your contact information in the show notes. I know in your free time, you typically love to be outdoors in nature with animals. So I appreciate you being inside with us for a little bit today to record this podcast.
Oh, thanks.
Cheryl, thank you for your insight and your expertise in like this holistic person-centered disease prevention and health management kind of model. For our listeners, I want you to know that Cheryl does offer services both in person and virtually. So it doesn't matter where you live, she can help you. She offers a multitude of things that she talked about today, like comprehensive nutritional therapy, addressing the root causes of disease, functional clinical assessment of the organs and systems, determining food sensitivities and supplements that are compatible for each person. She has access to discounted supplements, is able to analyze blood chemistry panels. She can look at your hair tissue and so much more. You can schedule a discovery call with her by emailing her at info@resilientmetabolism.com or visit her website, www.resilientmetabolism.com. And again, I'll post that in the show notes. Before we sign off, is there anything else that you'd like to just leave, words of wisdom for our listeners?
You know, optimal health is something that I think we've been fooled by mainstream that most of us can't obtain it. And it's very untrue. The body is such an amazing mechanism that given the right nutrients, it's unbelievable what you can do, and being able to learn how to listen to your body, it speaks to us more than we have any concept. My next venture, I actually start today, is muscle testing. And that is a whole nother thing that we can go down that rabbit hole at a future, but it's listening to how your body reacts to things with functional testing.
Oh, that's exciting. Well, hopefully we'll have you back on the next podcast episode. We can talk about muscle testing. All right. Until next time. Bye-bye, everyone.
Thank you.